Good morning, Christchurch. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We plead that you would be with us and guide us in the way that we should go. We pray, Father, as we go on these great adventures with you, that your spirit would be with us, that you would comfort, strengthen, and guide us in all that we do. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, I listened to a podcast with Brené Brown, and in it, she spoke about the idea of power. And I found it so incredibly interesting because she said anytime she has a chance to interview somebody that is a leader in a position of authority, she always likes to see how they think about power and how they use power. And she talked about the idea that power itself, it's not a good thing or a bad thing, that what makes power dangerous is how power is used. And in the podcast, she broke down two different ways to really use power. She said the first one is called power over. And people who use power over other people, what they do is they see power as finite. There's only so much of it, and it's driven by fear. Because it's fear-based, they use the power over, they use fear to protect and hoard the power they have, and they don't want to give any of it away. They leverage fear to divide and destabilize and devalue decency. And she said that really what marks power over is that being right is more important than getting it right. She said people who use this type of power, they maintain their power by maintaining, demonstrating an ever-increasing capacity for cruelty, including shame and bullying. And she said they incite hatred and violence with persistent dehumanizing language and policies. She said, on the other hand, there's another way to use power. And she says this is power with, to, and within. And what she says is people who use power with, to, or within believe that power expands when it's shared with others. And so they seek to leverage connection and empathy to unite and stabilize. Couldn't get the word out. And they think getting it right is more important than being right. She said they frame leadership as a responsibility to be in service to others rather than to be served by others. She said they center connection and humanity with empathy-driven agendas, policies, and values, and they share power with people, they empower people to do things, and they inspire people to develop the power that's within them. And she's been studying this for years and years and years, and she used her understanding of power based on the definition from Dr. King that gave power as the ability to achieve purpose and affect change. And she said when we think about power that way, it's neither good nor bad, it's how we use it. We can use power in good ways, and we can use power in bad ways. And I just found it so interesting to think about, especially in connection to those who are in higher positions of authority and as we think about our positions and where we are. Because the truth is, no matter what position we hold in life, we all have some power. We all have agency over ourselves and the choices that we make every single day. And we have power with the people that we're doing life with and power with the jobs that we have and in the communities that we're a part of. And it's incredibly important for us to think through how do we exercise the power that we have in our lives? How do we make choices based on this power and thinking through how we do it? Are we using power over other people, or are we sharing the power that we have with the people around us and empowering them and inspiring them to develop their own power inside themselves? One of the incredible lessons that Jesus taught his disciples actually centered around this very idea. Matthew tells us about a time that one of the disciples' mothers loved her guys, and her guys were disciples of Jesus, and she wanted to go to Jesus and get them positions of power in his kingdom. And so she took this idea, not really understanding what she was asking for, wanting the best for her kids, and she took it to Jesus. And Matthew said when all the other disciples found out about it, they got really annoyed and indignant with each other. Like, how dare you try to get a better position than the rest of us? Like, how dare you use, like, your leverage or your place or your mom to try and get this position that's better than everybody else's? And Jesus understood what was happening. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. He brought them together and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He said, look, I know the models that you guys have for power and leadership. I understand the world that you're growing up in. And the people that the disciples had seen in positions of power, they really used power over the people. They had grown up, the common person was oppressed by everybody in positions of authority around them. The Romans led with fear and brutality, and they were not citizens, and they did not have the same rights as other people. They were looked down upon by their own religious leaders and the priest of the day, and they were taxed mercilessly every which way. Every example they had of people in positions of a power, they saw people using their power over the people around them. And they saw people being squashed, and they saw the fear and the intimidation that they used to get what they wanted, and they saw how they would lord their place over everybody else, and it left people feeling beat down and abused. So Jesus wanted to challenge their thinking. He wanted to challenge every model they had seen and their understanding of what position and power could look like. And so he said to them in verse 26, this is not how it's going to be among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. He said, you aren't going to be the ones who use power to oppress other people. You've been oppressed, but now you're not going to get into positions of authority and power and reverse on everybody else and oppress the people around you. You're not going to use fear and cruelty to lead, and you're not going to use your positions to get what you want at the expense of other people. In fact, he was going to turn everything they understood about greatness completely on its head and show them this new idea. In Christ's kingdom, greatness isn't found in position. It's not in lording over other people how great you are and how awesome you are and what you have and what they don't. And it's not about manipulating people and using them to get what you want or making yourself great at the expense of everybody around you. Jesus is teaching us people aren't an ends to a means. They aren't a means to an end. What happens is we're not going to use people to climb some type of a ladder and make ourselves greater by making them less. In fact, people are the ends. People are the means. They are what are valuable and important. So Jesus said, let me tell you who is great. The people who see themselves as servants of everybody else. Jesus said, let me define a great life for you. It is not found in what you get, by what you give instead. It's defined by how you serve others. Jesus taught that it's using our power with empathy and service to the people around us. It's teaching us that people don't just exist to do what we want them to do. People don't exist to serve us. We exist to serve the people that God has put in our life. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new model to look to. I know you've had all of these models in your culture and in your world, and I know you see these people as having the best of everything, and they have the power, and they have the means, and they have the money, and they have the relationships. But I don't want you to use them as your model. Let me give you another model instead. And he held himself up as the example. He said in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came into the world as a servant. And when we really just dwell on that for a second, it's a shocking thing. The Son of Man, fully God, became fully human, and he lived in this world among us. And when he came into the world, he's God. He could have picked any form that he wanted to take. He could have been a Roman emperor. He could have been a Roman general. He could have been a high priest. He could have picked any place to start from. Yet he came into the world as a baby, completely dependent on the people who'd been picked to raise him. And as he lived his life, he lived with people. He chose people to follow him, and they weren't in positions of power, and they weren't the ones that had all the authority and all the following. He picked people nobody would have picked, but he empowered them and championed them until they became great leaders in the church and set examples for those who knew them because they saw Christ. And Christ had compassion on the people that he encountered, and he saw the people who were sick and hungry, and he was moved to help them. He healed the sick and he fed the hungry and he taught people with great knowledge and great understanding. And his followers got to see what service looked like by how Jesus served them, by how Jesus served people that they encountered day after day after day. And Jesus kept disrupting these ideas. And he's like, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. And the greatest among, nobody would say a slave has any power. Nobody would say a servant is any type of position that you would feel like that's what I want to be. But Jesus disrupted the norms of what culture thought, and he still does the same thing for us today. He said, if you really, really want to be great, if you really want to know a picture of what greatness looks like, then it looks like a servant. And he set the greatest example by being the greatest servant we've ever seen. In fact, right before he went to the cross, he gathered his friends together. They sat down to have their last meal together. And as they were getting ready, he knelt by each one of their feet and washed them. He washed their dirty feet, and he humbled himself by taking a position of humility, kneeling before them. We just can't forget this is God, and he's strong and mighty and majestic and wonderful, and he knelt at the ground of common people just like you and I and washed their feet. He took a servant's position, and he did a servant's job. And he kept challenging what service looks like again and again and again, even going so far as to give his life on the cross to serve us, the only way that ever, ever really connects us rightly to God. That humanity, all of humanity might know the love and grace and compassion of our awesome God. This is what Christ taught us service is. He left the splendor and wonder and majesty and riches of heaven behind. He came into the world. He took the humble position of a servant and lived in our broken world to give his life for you and I. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords didn't lord his position and authority over people. Instead, he humbled himself even to death on a cross. He didn't shy away from any kind of person, any of the people that you weren't supposed to hang out with, and any of the people who weren't in the right crowds. He never backed away from them. He received nothing from others, but yet he gave everything to us, that in him and through him we might know grace, love, and life. He shared the greatest act of service by redeeming sinners through his own death. He showed the greatest service by dying in our place. And Jesus said, this is the model. This is the role of what service looks like if you want to define a great life. We will find greatness by living a life of service to others. It will not be found in the model of the leaders that we have around us today, and it will not be found in the people who use power to squash and control and drive with fear. Instead, it will always be found when Christ is our model and guide in how we serve and love and lead. I love what Dr. King said. He said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. You don't have to be any level or any position. You just have to have a heart that's willing to say yes because you see how awesome Christ is and you want to follow in his path. Every single one of us has the potential to make an impact, to make a difference, to add value to our world right now, and it's driven through service. And friends, all of us are gifted to serve. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have a background in theology. You don't have to have a 9-to-5 job. Every single one of us have different talents and different gifts and different time available to us, and every one of us have some gift we can use to serve others. It's not a matter of ability. It's always a matter of willingness. Am I willing to make this a priority in my life? Am I willing to look out at the world and see the need and see where I can help and say yes to being a servant of humanity and serving the people again and again and again that we encounter? Very simply, service at its core is the value of caring about others more than just ourselves. That's it. It's looking to the needs of other people more than just our own needs. It's looking how to help other people more than just helping ourselves. It puts us not at the forefront of everything, but it helps us take a step back and put other people ahead of ourselves. And it helps us look for ways to help and empower other people around us. And it's so important for us to grow in our faith, in our healthy Christian life. It's an absolute must in the life that Christ calls us to live. And we need it because service helps us grow in ways that really other things won't. Service helps us grow in attitudes like humility. Let's be honest, we spend a lot of time thinking about us, right? Like, my world revolves around me because my mind is always thinking about me. My mind is always filled with my complaints and my woes and my problems and my to-do list and my struggles and all of me, right? Like, I don't have to work hard to feel bad about myself. Like, I can make that happen on a dime. I do have to work hard to make myself feel bad for the case of others, because I have to put myself in positions where I'm thinking about people, not just myself. We're hardwired to think about ourselves. Self-care requires us to, right? It's innately, the drive to live and survive is deep inside of us. Yet, being humble and selfish do not go together. They're incompatible. They're oil and water. You can't be a humble, selfish person. Like, it just doesn't happen. But all of us have echoes of that selfishness in us that need to be pushed at again and again and again. We don't just accept it as is. We don't just say, well, it's who I am. I guess it's okay. No, we challenge it and we struggle our way through it. And we say, I want to replace it with a better, higher value, a more noble character trait that better calls me to be the girl and the guy that Christ has called us to be. And humility isn't about beating ourselves up or putting ourselves down or being self-deprecating. It's not trying to convince everybody how incompetent we are or how terrible we are. And it's not making ourselves nothing. It's just thinking about ourselves less. It's actually self-forgetfulness. The best things that happen is where we just have enough space out of our own head to not think about ourselves for a minute, and to put the needs and wants of others and our focus on them. It helps us to spend time thinking about other people, their life, their needs, and how we can help. Humility isn't making less of ourselves, it's just thinking of ourselves less. And I love how Dallas Willard said it. He said, I'll often be able to serve another simply as an act of love and righteousness without regard to how it may enhance my abilities to follow Christ. But I may also serve another to train myself away from arrogance, possessiveness, envy, resentment, or covetousness. In that case, my service is undertaken as a discipline for the spiritual life. It's a practice that we put into place in our life again and again and again that is so necessary for us to grow. Well, service also helps us grow in gratitude. It's so easy to take what we have for granted. It's so easy to look out and see what everybody else has. Like, I don't know who you follow on Instagram. I don't know who you link up with on social media. But if you follow any type of influencer who's pushing any type of thing or any celebrity or anybody that's got something, it is really hard not to look at their life and feel lacking in some way. Like, it's really hard not to see, like, their lifestyle and the way they dress and their homes and their cars and their perfectly put together children and their perfectly put together lives and the highlight reel again and again and again and not feel like, man, I am lacking, and feel bad about yourself. It's so easy to get used to the things that we see every single day and the people that we are around, the same house and the same people, that we just take for granted how much, how blessed we really, really are. We forget how much we have to be thankful for. It was a real eye-opener this last year to see, like, how many things I took for granted that I just no longer had access to. Like just being able to simply like be with my family, we couldn't do in the same way. And being able to bop over to the grocery store and grab what I wanted. When I went into an empty grocery store, that was like a real eye-opener, how spoiled I am that I could go to any grocery store at any time and get whatever I want. That is a luxury that we absolutely take for granted. Being able to put food on the table in our health, in our home, and after such a disruptive time, it was so important to see how many things I took for granted in my own life. Able to see just how much we really have and what we're thankful for, and when all the extra gets worn away, what matters the most? What absolutely is essential and priority and means more than anything else? When so many things were taken away, we were able to spend time just focusing on what matters the most. And service does that for us on a regular basis. Service gets us outside of our regular context. It gets us our eyes shifted to see things rather than just how we're always used to seeing them. Sometimes we get into such a routine that we only go to the same places and see the same people, and our little bubble never changes. But service kind of pops that bubble and puts us in new places and different communities with different people who don't have what we have, who don't live how we live or think how we think. And it challenges us and it disrupts our normal life routine by seeing everything else around us. By seeing, you know, what I take for granted is an absolute luxury to somebody else. What I get annoyed with or what I think isn't that great would be something that somebody else would absolutely just be life-changing to have. And service leads us to gratitude because it reminds us again and again how much we really take for granted in this life. What happens is we get to see the fullness of our life in different ways, and it opens up a pocket of gratitude in our heart. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, it allows us to be thankful for what we do. And this time away from our own context helps us refocus and gives us a greater appreciation for the lives that we have. Service also challenges us and helps us grow in love. We say this because it's so important. Loving God means loving people, right? Like, I can't love God and hate my brothers and sisters. Like, those things don't go together. Like, I can't say God and talk about all of the loving things that he's done for me and then just spew violence and hatred and evil and condensation towards all of condemnation. That was the wrong word. But I can't, those things don't go together. They don't mix. But here's where this is hard. If we're honest, it's not always easy to love people. People are messy and challenging, and sometimes they're difficult and hard, and they don't want me to love them. They don't want my kindness, but it makes it no less important for me to live out this absolute imperative that Christ gives us. Yes, life can be messy and challenging with people, but service helps us see the people around us less as burdens and hassles and annoyances we have to work through, and instead as human beings with a common humanity just like us. Service puts us in a position to see we have all been created in the image of God. And every one of these people, the ones that I agree with and don't agree with, the people that I want to serve and I don't want to serve, the people that I love and the people that make me feel hassled and bothered, Christ gave his life to serve them just as much as he gave his life to serve me. We are called to be servants of one another. We're called to hold each other up and bear each other's burdens, and we're called to step in and do life with people. You can't do life on an island unto yourself. You can try. We can all try, but it doesn't work. We'll never find joy, happiness, or any type of greatness for our life there. Yes, the world is full of difficult people or mean and hurtful people, and they don't always appreciate what we do, but we can help them anyways. We can serve them anyways. We can be kind anyways. Jesus said this was the defining marker of what people would know it meant to follow him. How we love the people around us. And that is so important, friends, because we got to do a gut check on ourselves. The way I talk to people, is anybody saying, that is a girl who loves Jesus Christ right there? the things that I say on social media and the arguments I get into and the posts that I share, is anybody saying, oh my goodness, look at the light of Jesus Christ shining in their life in those moments? Or instead, are they thinking, typical, typical, they say they love Christ, but you can't see it in any of their actions. We regularly have to do gut checks on ourselves in this. This is our job and our responsibility. It's nobody else's. The blame lies solely in my heart, in my life, and in my choices. If I say I love Christ, if I say I want to follow him, if I see the model that he laid out and how he served and loved us, then what am I requiring of myself in love to other people's? What am I requiring of myself in service to other people? Because Christ showed his love by serving us. We show our love for him by serving others. It takes action and has feet to it and movement and hands on doing something. That's how we live out the love that we have for Christ. And friends, when we serve, we grow and we change and our hearts are challenged again and again. God is at work in our hearts and our minds and our souls, doing his very, very best work. And he's helping to grow us into more humble, thankful, and loving people. And as the church, we should absolutely be leading the way in this. We should be saying, let me show you the greatest life you could ever live because Christ modeled it for us. We should be at the front line as the church and showing kindness and generosity. And if we really think that the church is the hope of the world, then we have to be the ones sharing hope. We have to be the ones out there saying that Christ is good and he's better than you've ever even thought you knew. We have to be the very ones out there shining light in the darkest places, serving in the hardest corners of the world. And friends, every single day there is an opportunity to serve. It is not connected to our ability. It's connected to our willingness to say yes to Christ in these things. Every one of us has power. No matter how big or how small that power is, we all are able to exercise power. And every one of us gets to choose how we're going to use that power, over people or with, to squash others or to empower the people around us. We get to be servants in every aspect of our life. Instead of being the tyrant in our home, we get to be the servant. I turn into a tyrant at bedtime. I'm barking out orders like the best dictator in the entire world, and I can't stand myself in these moments. We get to be servants, not tyrants, to the people that God has given us. Instead of barking orders at each other, we get to look for ways to serve and be kind to one another. We could serve the people that we work with. Instead of complaining at everybody or talking about how terrible they are or agreeing with all the nasty things they want to say about the boss, we could just say, I'm here to serve. Yes, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, but I'm not going to just do that. I'm going to look for ways to help the people around me, and not for recognition or status or a raise, but just simply to be a servant to the people around me. We could serve by making it our goal to just make one person's day better every single day. What if we just went out of our way to say, who can I bring a smile to their face? Who can I encourage? Who can I help? Who can I say something kind to? What is one small act of kindness that would help turn somebody's day around? That's an act of service. There are people that we come across day after day after day. We pass them when we buy our coffee in the drive-thru. We pass them when we walk into the same places that we always go to. We pass them in the checkout lines and in the grocery store and at the gas station or where we get breakfast or dropping the kids off at school. We see people again and again and again and again. What if we looked at these chance encounters, not just as a hassle to get to the next thing, but a place where we could serve and we could make a difference in the life of somebody else? What if we looked for opportunities as we come across people to do good in their lives, to help and to serve? We can serve here in the church. God's given us this awesome adventure of faith to be on together. And the church is a body of members, people working together on the team, saying it matters that we accomplish this mission. It matters that we do this work that God has called us to do. And we could volunteer an hour a week at church to give ourselves away in the service of Jesus Christ. We could volunteer a couple hours a month in the service of our community. No matter what your skills or your talent or your background or where you're from, we have a spot for you to serve at Christ Church. We have a place for you that you could make a difference, where you could grow and help add value and lean into the life of somebody else. No matter where you are, we have a spot for you to serve. If you're watching us online right now, there's going to be a connect where you can click on it. And if you'd like to get more information about serving with us, or if you're on Facebook, message us. We'd love to get you connected. God's given us this awesome, awesome place to come together and call on his name together and do his good work. But friends, it takes every single one of us putting our hands and our feet in the arena, doing the work together to build up the church of Christ. It starts with saying yes. Yes to being the servant Christ has called us to be. It starts with prayerfully considering, what's God gifted me to do? Where can I help? Where can I be a part of just leaning into good and kindness and helping? It's saying yes to being available. It's saying, God, I don't even maybe know what I want to say yes to, but I'm just saying yes. Open my heart and direct me in the way that I should go. Every one of us has the power to achieve purpose and affect change right where we are right now. Every one of us can make a difference in our families, in our workplaces, in our church, and in our community. Just imagine what the world might look like if all of us said yes to being a servant of Jesus Christ. Imagine what might start happening in our world, in our community, in our families, if we just said yes to helping the people around us. Imagine what God might do in us and through us and around us when we have the heart to partner with him in this good work. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts today. I thank you so much for the service of Jesus Christ. I recognize, Father, that without Christ, we don't even get to be the people you've called us to be today. I recognize that without the service of Christ, we have no hope for who you've called us to be. And we humbly say thank you for him. Thank you for what he did on our behalf. Thank you for him disrupting the status quo of our hearts and our life and our culture. I pray, Father, that we would stop looking to the left or to the right, but we would put our gaze on you, that you would lead us and guide us and call out what is best and great in each and every one of us. I pray, Father, that we would be just on fire to be servants of you in this world. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.